मोकम करोति वाचालम पंगुम लंघयते गिरी यत्कृपात हम वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणम परमानंद माधवम श्री चैतन्येश्वरम। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 43। Hope everyone is ready with the verse. Let's chant the verse. Tam sarva bhutatma bhutam prashantam samadarshanam bhagavat tejasas prishtam nashaknod dantum udyamahi. Translation: the Lord, the super soul of all living entities, is sober, peaceful, and equal to everyone. Since the great devotee Prahlad was protected by the Lord's potency, Hiranyakashipu was unable to kill him, in spite of endeavoring to do in various ways. Purport: in this verse, the word Sarva Bhutatma Bhutam is very significant. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddheshe Arjuna Tishtati. The Lord is equally situated in the core of everyone's heart. Thus, he cannot be envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. For him, everyone is the same. Although he is sometimes seen to punish someone, this is exactly like a father's punishing his child for the child's welfare. The Supreme Lord's punishment is also a manifestation of Lord's equality. Therefore, the Lord is described as Prashantam Samadarshanam. Although the Lord has to execute his will properly, he is equipoised in all circumstances. He is equally disposed toward everyone. Now we have discussed elaborately on how Lord Krishna is not partial. So the same thing is mentioned again. Either he blesses someone or either he punishes someone. It's one and the same. Because both the cases he's going to deliver the people. Yes? Let's move to text 44. So now you see in these two verses, text 42 and text 43, 41, 42 and 43, Shukadeva Goswami completed the pastime of Narasimha Dev and Prahlad. So he completed the pastime. Now he's speaking about Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Text 44, thereafter the same Jai Vijay, the two doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, begotten by Vishrava in the womb of Keshini. They were extremely troublesome to all the people of the universe. Text 45, Narada Muni continued, my dear king, just to relieve Jaya and Vijaya of the Brahmana's curse, Lord Ramchandra appeared in order to kill Ravana and Kumbhakarna. It will be better for you to hear narrations about Lord Ramchandra's activities from Markandeya. Now, here, it's very nice. Narada Muni can tell the pastime of Lord Ramchandra. Why is he saying that you will hear it later from Markandeya Rishi? So, what happened is, it comes in Ramayana. It comes in Mahabharata in some section. I have not read Mahabharata and I don't intend also to read. Bhagavatam is something, you know, which we relish. But I've heard, you know, from my superiors that in Mahabharata there is a section where this Draupadi was kidnapped by Jayadrath. And when this happened, so morning she was kidnapped and evening she came back. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was really in great sorrow. He was like he was so morose and was so sad. He was going through so much of pain. He was saying, oh, my wife got kidnapped and now she is coming and then all my wealth is taken away and I've been banished to forest. Who else in this entire creation might have faced such a great difficulty, what I am facing? Then Markandeya Rishi comes from, Markandeya Rishi was there nearby, and Markandeya Rishi says, what you have faced? Your wife was taken only for one day. There was a personality called Lord Ramchandra. His wife was kidnapped for one complete year. You have not faced anything. Even he was banished. for 14 years. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj starts asking questions, and Markandeya Rishi now gives an elaborate description of Ramayana in that particular section of Mahabharata. So that's what Narada Muni is saying. Now don't ask me about how Lord Ramchandra killed Ravan and Kumbhakarna. In future, you're going to anyways hear from Markandeya Rishi. Now this is called as Trikala Darshi. So pure devotees who are there, they're Trikala Darshi. They can see the past, they can see the present, and they can also see the future of a person. Now what he will go through. Yes. Because Krishna is Trikala Darshi. Krishna knows what happened in the past, present, and what will happen in the future. So anyone who gets closer to Krishna becomes a Trikala Darshi. And Narada Muni is one such personality. He's a Trikala Darshi. That's how, just by looking at Yudhishthira Maharaj, is able to make out in future, he's going to get into some other troublesome situation at that time. At that time, he'll be hearing this wonderful aspect or wonderful katha of Lord Ram. Let's go to the next verse, 46. In their third birth, now the first birth was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev, and Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narasimhadev. So we have not discussed about Varahadev. Sometime we'll discuss about Varahadev like this elaborately. And then in the next lifetime, Jayavijay became Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and they were killed by Lord Ramchandra. And now in the third birth, the same Jayavijay appeared in the family of Kshatriyas as your cousins, the sons of your aunt. Because Lord Krishna has struck them with his disc, all their sinful reactions have been destroyed, and now they are free from the curse. In their last birth, Jay and Vijay did not become demons or Rakshasas. Instead, they took birth in a very exalted Kshatriya family related to Krishna's family. They became first cousins of Lord Krishna and were practically on an equal footing with him. By personally killing them with his own disc, Lord Krishna destroyed whatever sinful reactions were left in them because of the curse of the Brahmanas. Narad Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhishthira that by entering Krishna's body, Shishupal re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident. Now you see where it started. How did we start? Parikshit Maharaj was asking question to Shukadeva Goswami. Oh, I understand Lord is not partial, but it's like Lord is partial. No, he's taking the side of demigods. Now, please tell me, Shukadeva Goswami. And then Shukadeva Goswami gives some verses and then he explains. Then he starts the pastime where Yudhishthira Maharaj is talking to Narada Muni. And Yudhishthira Maharaj saw Shishupal being killed by Krishna. And in front of Krishna's eyes, in front of Yudhishthira's eyes, Shishupal entered the body of Krishna. And then after that, now we see the entire sequence of the pastime goes like this, where Narada Muni starts explaining how the Lord is not partial. And second aspect he mentions was about the intensity of bhakti. Anyone who does bhakti either with enmity, fear, lusty desires or devotion, that person will be able to attain Krishna. And then Narada Muni also makes a statement, if you all remember, by his humility, he makes a statement that now the ones who remember Krishna through enmity, they are much better than people like us, general devotees. That's how he says. And then it continues where Yudhishthira Maharaj had a question. How did Shishupal become Shishupal? And at that time, Narada Muni says that they were actually Jaya and Vijaya in the spiritual world. And now they were cursed by Brahmanas. And Yudhishthira Maharaj couldn't handle or couldn't digest this statement of Narada Muni. And he started saying that how is it possible? How is it possible that a Vaikuntha Vasi getting cursed? And then we saw the pastime where Jaya and Vijaya getting cursed by the four Kumaras. We saw that in detail day before yesterday. And then now Narada Muni is describing the three lives of Jaya Vijaya. And then finally, in the third life, he's saying that now in the third life, they were freed from the curse of the four Kumaras. And now they went home back to Godhead. That is to Vaikuntha. And they resumed the position of the doorkeepers. Now text 47. These two associates of Lord Vishnu, Jaya and Vijaya, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna in this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home back to Godhead. So the catch here is this one. In the enmity, what they did was always thinking of Krishna. Always thinking of Krishna is that phrase or words which made Jaya Vijaya qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. So this is a very nice point, and let's see what Prabhupada says. Whatever their position, certainly Jaya and Vijaya always thought of Krishna. Therefore, at the end of the Maushala Leela, these two associates of Lord returned to Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Narayan's body. Therefore, although they visibly entered the body of Krishna, they actually re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu. Through Lord Krishna's body, they returned to Vaikuntha, although they seem to have attained Sayujya Mukti in Krishna's body. So seemingly, it was like Shishupala has got Sayujya Mukti. He has entered the body of Brahman and lost his individuality. But it's very clear. He got Sayujya Mukti from Krishna. He went to Vaikuntha. Yes, and there they resume their own original form, the four-handed form like Vishnu. The last verse of this chapter. Narad Muni, he played a trick. And in three verses, he completed the entire pastime of Hiranyakashipu being killed by Narasimha Dev. And now Yudhishthira Maharaj wants an elaborate discussion about that. So now Yudhishthira Maharaj is posting a question. How nice it is. Only because these people are posting questions, we have Bhagavatam to read. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, "Oh my Lord, Narada Muni, why was there such enmity between Hiranyakashipu and his beloved son Prahlad Maharaj? How did Prahlad Maharaj become such a great devotee of Lord Krishna?" So these are the two questions by which we'll be actually entering the Prahlad Charita. So after the 8 days of discussion, today is the 8th day. Today is the 8th day, and we're completing the first chapter of Canto 7. And with this question, we're going to enter a very nice section now of description about Hiranyakashipu. And after that, now after 2-3 chapters, then Prahlad Maharaj will appear. Purport. All the devotees of Lord Krishna are called Achyutatma because they follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Achyuta refers to infallible Lord Vishnu, whose heart is always infallible. Because the devotees are attached to infallible, they are called as Achyutatma. So, see, we might not be pure devotees. Still, there's a lot of anarthas in the heart. If we get that opportunity to open our heart and show what is there inside, it will be so dirty that we might ourselves might faint looking at what is there inside the heart. Surely we will faint. I don't know about you all. At least I will faint looking at what is there in my heart. So much of dirt and so much of garbage. But if we just follow sincerely a pure devotee, we will also become a pure devotee. We will also become attached to Krishna's lotus feet because that pure devotee is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. So following a pure devotee is very important. And in all our lives, that pure devotee is Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. So we have to just follow. When we just follow Srila Prabhupada, so there is no need. There is no need of thinking anything. Automatically, with time, we will become pure devotees for sure. And what are we doing? Same thing every day. What is new? Every day we chant the same mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Every day we read the same book, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Every day, we look at the same picture of Krishna. So nothing is changing if you see. But the process is so powerful because it is given by Lord Himself and it has come through the pure devotee. Just by following this process sincerely and seriously every single day. We might not be pure devotees still now, but surely we'll become pure devotees very, very soon. Very, very soon. Depending on, again, the catch is depending on sincerity, seriousness, and how much hankering we have to attain Krishna. Depending on these three qualities of ours and the intensity of the same, we'll understand that how fast we can become pure devotees. But it starts from the point when we start following a pure devotee. And fortunately, by the mercy of our superiors, by the Gita course that we had, and the Bhakti Vrikshas, those are currently going on. We have already started following Srila Prabhupada and his instructions. So we already started. Long time back only we started. 6 months back or 8 months back only we already started. Now, the thing is, now we have to just increase that heat, increase that flame of the fire. You have to just increase that. Increase the intensity of the flame now. That is, increase our sincerity, increase our seriousness, and become more intense in hankering to attain Krishna. And just by doing that, what will happen? We will be called as Achyutatma. Achyutatma means the devotee, the Achyuta, who is the heart and soul of the devotees. Achyuta is Krishna, and Krishna becomes the heart and soul of the devotees. So devotees are called as Achyutatma. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of 7th canto, 1st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Haribol! Yeah. Finally, we were able to complete at least one chapter. So let's move on to chapter 2. Two questions are asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj. The first question is, how is it that Hiranyakashipu, who is the father, was having enmity towards his son Prahlad? This is the first question. Second question which he is asking is, how did Prahlad become a devotee? Because he was born in a demonic family, how did he become a devotee? These are the two questions now which are asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj. And now let's see what Narada Muni says. Text 1 of chapter 2. Narada Muni said, my dear King Yudhishthir, when Lord Vishnu in the form of Varaha, the boar, killed Hiranyaksha's brother Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and began to lament. Yudhishthira had inquired from Narada Muni why Hiranyakashipu was so envious of his own son Prahlad. Narada Muni began narrating the story by explaining how Hiranyakashipu had become a staunch enemy of Lord Vishnu. Now you see, Hiranyakashipu's brother, younger brother Hiranyaksha, was killed. And when Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev, at that time, Hiranyakashipu got natural enmity towards Vishnu. And that is the reason, that will come down now. And since Prahlad became the devotee of Vishnu, Prahlad also becomes the enemy of Hiranyakashipu. Let's see, text 2. Filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakashipu gazed at the sky with eyes that blazed in anger, making the whole sky smoky. Thus he began to speak. See, this is what is called as demon or atheist. If anyone wants to become atheist, he should be able to do this. Looking at the sky, fire coming out from the eyes and making the entire sky go gloomy and full of smoke. Just by posting some articles on Facebook and some videos on YouTube doesn't work. This is what it should be done. So much of anger. I don't think any one of us can become angry like this. Just imagine any incident in your life where we have completely become very, very angry. We are not able to tolerate ourselves. Even then, even at our topmost angry position, I don't think we will ever get fire from our eyes. In fact, tears will come from our eyes. Fire will never come. But look at the position of Hiranyakashipu, or the level of Hiranyakashipu, or his strength. That when he became angry, now the eyes, they were actually spitting fire, and there was a lot of smoke that was coming, which filled the entire sky. And he was looking at the sky, and he's going to speak now. Why was he looking at sky and speaking? Because even demons know Lord is up somewhere. We say, ki upar wale se, upar wale se bachke raho. And so many times people say that, you're doing sinful activity, don't you know? Don't you know the person sitting up there? Don't you know about him? He will punish you, he's looking at us. And sometimes parents also try to threaten their kids. This is the first image that parents give to the kids. There is a person who is looking at you, and if you do something, he'll punish you. Is he loving God, or is he a demon sitting there? So the image that we create for our kids should be very proper. He should be a loving God for them. At least, I see when it comes to us, all of us were very nicely given this image. If you do this, if you go wrong here, Lord will punish you. Lord will punish you. Lord will punish you. Lord will punish you. There is no love for the Lord only. So that is the reason you see in India, it's very, very normal to worship the Lord in fear. Yes, in fear. And sometimes people act like ostrich. They will do some sinful activity, closing their eyes, and they think, oh, Lord is not watching, or he'll not punish me. Like drinking alcohol by closing the eyes. No one is watching me. Yes. So it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. But the thing is, that's how we have been trained right from our childhood. at least this training we shouldn't give, you know, pass it on to the next generation. The training that should be given to our kids should be that how loving the Supreme Personality of God it is. And they should worship with love. And you see, when there is love for a person, automatically there is respect, and automatically, you know, there'll be also fear if we don't follow that particular thing. What is the fear? The fear is not that person will punish me. The fear is if I don't do this, that person will feel bad. And since I love him, I don't want to see that person feel bad. Right? This mood has to be created. This is the training that we are supposed to give. Instead of saying, oh, he'll punish you, he'll do this with you, that with you. He'll rot you in hell forever. Sometimes I've heard parents saying that he'll put you in hell and then, you know, there'll be a blazing fire and then you'll be put in the fire. So better study. This is too much of a description of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is loving personality as a, you know, as portraying as a very, very fearful personality. As usual, the demon is envious of Supreme Personality of Godhead and inimical toward him. These were Hiranyakashipu's external bodily features as he considered how to kill Lord Vishnu and devastate his kingdom, Vaikuntha Loka. Text 3. Exhibiting his terrible teeth, fierce glance, frowning eyebrows, terrible to see, he took up his weapon, a trident, and thus began speaking to his associates and assembled demons. Now, there's a pravachan, you know, which Hiranyakashipu is giving, but this pravachan is by standing. He's standing and, you know, speaking. Now, this is how the politicians also give speech. They stand and speak. So that's how even Hiranyakashipu is doing. And he's now very, very angry. And he's holding a trident in his hand. And now he's going to speak to all his followers, the demons. Now he's calling out different personalities. O Danavas and Daityas, O Dvimurdha, Prayaksha. Dvimurdha is having two heads. Prayaksha means three eyes. And Shambhara, I don't know what will be his feature. And Shatabahu. Shatabahu means 100 hands. He has 100 hands. Oh, Hayagriva. Now, this Hayagriva is not the incarnation of Lord. Namuchi, Paka, Ilvala. Oh, Viprachitti, Puloman, Shakuna, and other demons. These names are something similar like Pintu, Bantu, yes, of the various Western names. You know, so these are demoniac names. And if anyone wants really some good demoniac name, they are searching for some pet name for their kid, they should pick up from here. It will be so nice to call them, hey, Trayaksha, come here. At least that name will be from Bhagavatam, instead of calling Pintu, Chintu, Bantu, whatever. Yes. I remember one kid was named as Krishna. And the parent would call him Kree. What Kree are you talking about? Call him Krishna. You will get so much of merit by calling Krishna Kree. You know? All of you kindly hear me attentively and then act accordingly to my words without delay. I'm going to speak something very, very important here very, very carefully, because without any delay, you have to execute that particular thing, what I'm going to speak. Now, let's see what pravachan this personality is giving. He is having a trident in the hand, looking up in the sky, looking not towards the demon, glancing over all the demons. Now, he made a general addressing to all the Danavas and Daityas. And then he called out some important personalities. Like in any speech, you know, we say, so we would like to welcome everyone. It's very nice that everyone has come. Especially, I would like to welcome the chief minister and the prime minister and the president. So that's how Hiranyakashipu is doing here. Text 6. My insignificant enemies, the demigods, have combined to kill my very dear and obedient well-wisher, my brother Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was very, very obedient to Hiranyakashipu. Whatever Hiranyakashipu desired, Hiranyaksha would do. Hiranyakashipu basically means, Hiranya means gold, Kashipu means soft. Soft bed. So, whenever Hiranyakashipu would desire to conquer some kingdom or to, you know, to do some theft somewhere, steal something, Hiranyaksha would understand the desire of his elder brother and immediately would go and steal that particular thing and get it to him. And then soft bed, not to have females on that bed. That's how Kashipu means. And then Hiranyakashipu would desire, and Hiranyaksha would go and kidnap some female and get there, you know, for his enjoyment. So he is saying, my very dear and obedient well-wisher, my brother Hiranyaksha. Although the Supreme Lord Vishnu is always equal to both of us. See, even the demons know this. Namely, the demigods and demons, this time being devoutly worshipped by the demigods, he has taken their side and helped them kill Hiranyaksha. Yeah. Next verse is very nice. Okay, purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, the Lord is equal to all living entities. Since the demigods and demons are both living entities, how is it possible that Lord was partial to one class of living beings and opposed to another? Actually, it is not possible for the Lord to be partial. Nonetheless, since the demigods, the devotees, always strictly follow the Supreme Lord's orders because of sincerity, they are virtuous over the demons who know that Supreme Lord is Vishnu, but do not follow his instructions. See, even demons know who is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But naturally, they have a mood of not following the instructions given by Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the natural instinct of demons. So even in this world, when people understand about different instructions, you know, given by Supreme Personality of Godhead and not follow those instructions, those people are called as demons. So it is said, the ones who follow the instructions of Supreme Personality, they are devotees, and everyone else is demons. This is what is a statement that is made in the Shastra. Because of constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, the demons generally attain Sayujya Mukti after death. The demon Hiranyakashipu accused the Lord of being partial because the demigods worshipped him. But in fact, the Lord, like the government, is not partial at all. The government is not partial to any citizen. But if a citizen is law-abiding, he receives abundant opportunities from the state laws to live peacefully and fulfill his real interests. So very simple. So why do devotees get the favor from the Lord? Because they're following the rules and regulations put forward. And the ones who don't follow, just for their benefit, like the government, for the benefit of the criminals, or the ones who are not following the rules and regulations, so the government will put them behind the bars so that they improve. Similarly here, Lord plays the role like the government. Text 7-8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural... Okay, now Hiranyakashipu is speaking this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality towards the demons and demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees. So basically he's saying that he's supreme. He could have come in any form. But what to do? He came under Maya. And what form he took? Pig. Boar. And you know, obviously, no one worships a boar. Even if someone touches the pig. Obviously, nowadays, you know, people eat pig also. But it is seen that anyone who touches the pig also, they go and take bath immediately. By mistakenly also, if that happens. And here we see that when it comes to this form of the boar, he's saying because he was influenced by Maya, he came in this form of a boar. Now, next line is very nice, very humorous. Now, he says, to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leaned towards someone. Like, for example, you know, you want to talk to some child and you give that child chocolate. And then that child comes and takes the chocolate and then he starts saying, oh, this uncle is very nice. That's what he's saying. This is what the Lord is doing. Since he is given something, some sweets or some articles are given by the demigods or to the Supreme Personality, Vishnu. Now Vishnu, like a restless child, he has taken side of the demigods. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who was so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I to be peaceful. Now, the demons are very fond of sucking blood. There are various countries now where the favorite delicacy is monkey blood. Now, people like to drink monkey blood, it looks like. Yes. So, demons, now it is said, now that in Satyuga, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were there in Sutal Loka. And when it comes to Prahlad, he was on the Bhumandala. So they were on the different planets. And when it comes to Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Lord Ramchandra, they were there on Bhumandala, but you know, they were in different countries. Sri Lanka and Ayodhya, and then, or India. And then when it comes to Dwapar Yuga, so Krishna, Kamsa, or Krishna and Shishupal and Dantavakra, all of them appeared in the same family. Both the good and the bad appeared in the same family. And now look at the current situation in the sage of Kali. Now both are there with him. The demon is also there and the demigod is also there. Or the good qualities and bad qualities, both are there in one person. And there's always a fight between the two. Always a fight between the two. And most of the time, the demons win over the good, or the bad wins over the good, or the negative energy wins over the positive energy in this age of Kali, because the entire surrounding is filled with negativity. Entire surrounding is filled with negativity. Even if we are very good, we have been brought up in a very good family and so on and so forth, but still the negativity is so much around because of the surrounding. Automatically what happens? The person, now he goes more inclined towards the demonic qualities. And that is the reason, you see, when the kids are there at home, you know, they're very nice. And as soon as they go to some professional college in the hostel, you know, all the negativity, you know, they imbibe very nicely. And without the notice of that child, who was a sadhu, becomes a sadhu. Yes. And he gets into alcohol and woman mangler and so many other things, drugs and etc. etc. And that's about the kid. But when it comes to even the adults like us, now we see that even when we want to be good, the negativity around us does not allow us to be good. And that negativity boosts the negativity within our heart. See, negativity is already there in the heart, because we have this material body, and this material body is called as Sharira Avidya Jal. This material body is a network of illusion or network of ignorance. So automatically there's negativity within the heart, automatically. Now the positivity is also there, because the body is having the negative qualities, but when it comes to the soul, soul is pure. Soul has got positive qualities. But now the thing is, when the surrounding influences the person, automatically the negative energy boosts up and takes over the positive energy. And without the person's notice, the person starts acting like a demon. And that's how we see in this world. That's how we see now. Now you tell me, a man, an adult, raping some 8 months old baby. What is this? Yes. Or a school going kid, first standard, second standard girl. And a father being killed by the son, or son killing, or the father killing the son, or son killing the father. Or the relationship issues. The younger brother having relationship with his elder brother's wife. What are all these things in the age of Kali? What are all these things? In fact, this is exactly opposite to what Shastras talk about. Exactly opposite. Now, what about the theft that people do? Now, sometimes the kids, they get into all these things. They steal various things in the house. Yes. So like this, we see that the negativity around us in the surrounding, that actually creates a lot of negativity within. The negativity is boosted like anything, and the person becomes like a demon. To such a great extent that he doesn't think twice before doing any activity. Now, be it harming anyone for that matter. Yes. So it's really very painful. It's really very painful to see that when it comes to Vedic culture, very clearly it is given that stree, woman, kids, small kids, and cows and brahmanas, they have to be protected. Now, if you properly analyze, these are the four people, or these are the four personalities who are actually in fear always. Take the case of females. Now, where is the security? It becomes very difficult for people to walk nowadays alone. The females to walk alone, because there's so much of threat, so much of threat. Small kids, there was no threat before. Now small kids are sexually assaulted, even in the school bus, in the school, and there's so many cases like that we hear. And most of the time, when such assault is done, the child is killed. Cows, now it has become a delicacy. Cow has become a delicacy for people. How can someone kill the cow? Cow is a mother. She gives milk. And if we are drinking milk of a cow, then it means we have accepted the cow as mother. But look at the current situation, the current scenario of this world. Now people are eating cow also. There was one very big conference which was held in one of the countries. I was hearing from one of the devotees, he was talking about this. So he was saying that in this particular conference, a stadium was booked. And one person was showing this. I think I shared it in one of our classes. Anyways, I'll repeat it. So the person was showing how it is very bad, to kill animals. So he showed a cow slaughter. So in the stadium, there was a huge screen that was put. Many, many people had assembled there. And there was a cow slaughter that was shown, how the cow was slaughtered. It's really, very, I couldn't see, one video was sent, how the cow was slaughtered. I couldn't see even for a few seconds. Yes, how can such a big body be cut? Oh, that's very difficult. Very difficult to imagine also that how much demonic tendency the person has who is doing that particular activity. So this video was displayed on the screen and the person who was going to speak, he was expecting that people will be in tears and people will feel very bad and so on and so forth. And the video got over and the person came on stage and he was looking at the people. Most of them, their mouth was watering. The mouth was salivating, thinking, oh, so nice. So nice. If we cook and eat, it will be so on. That was the mood of people there. This is what we are heading towards. And Brahmanas, where are Brahmanas nowadays? Very difficult to find any Brahmana. And Brahmanas basically means we're talking about devotees. Now, you see, there are so many atheistic people, they are trying their best to pull the devotees down. They're trying their best. All glories to our Indian movies also. They are trying their best, to pull the Indian culture, the Indian tradition, the bhakti cult, everything they want to pull it down. There's so many forums, there's so many organizations which are coming up. If you remember, I had shared one boy whom I had met. So while doing book distribution, I met this boy. And I think his age would be around some 27, 28. And I was talking to him, he told me that I'm an atheist. I said, okay, no problem. You talk to me, we'll discuss. And then I started explaining to him about Bhagavad Gita and various aspects. But his arguments were so foolish that I couldn't speak anything. Very, very foolish, because it wasn't logical at all. Then he told me a very nice point, by which I just paid obeisance to him. He said, I'm a part of Tirupati Atheistic Club. Tirupati Atheistic Club. People go to Tirupati to become devotees or take darshan of Balaji. And here we see there's a Tirupati Atheistic Club looks like. This is so foolish. So foolish when it comes to these people around. So we have to understand that why all this is happening, because of the negativity in the surrounding. When that negativity boosts the negativity within us, automatically we become demons. And that is the reason it is recommended that we have to hanker to be in the association of devotees. In fact, we have a desire that there should be n number of apartments where every single person staying in each and every flat in that apartment should be a devotee. Just imagine, in the early morning, every house there's the conch shell blown and the aarti starts in sync. Or every morning everyone comes to the clubhouse and there's Mangal Aarti at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever. And everyone sits together and chants the holy name. This is what is the desire that we have. Let's see when it fulfills. But all of you all, if you think about it, it can be fulfilled. All of us can think of coming to one place or living at the same place or whatever. And nice devotional service can be practiced together. And that's how when it comes to the kids, they will become devotees. Nowadays, what is happening, what I'm seeing in devotee families is the parents are training the kids very nicely, by making them chant shlokas, recite some shlokas, etc., etc. And then when the kids go outside, they see all horrible things. The other kids would be talking about, I got PS5, I got PS6. And then I watched this movie. Which movie did you watch? And our kids, Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre. So there's a big mismatch that is happening. Big mismatch. And kids, they get a big question mark. Who am I? Am I a devotee or am I a non-devotee? And since they spend a lot of time with non-devotees, they actually turn to be non-devotees, you know, with time. So if we really want our kids, you know, to grow in devotion or to grow in bhakti and to be, now I'm not talking about devotees also, to be good people, just to be good people also, we need devotee association. The kids should be got or brought up in devotee association. So that is the reason we have this Vaikuntha kids and, you know, other things that we do, just to boost this activity, wherein the kids come together, they look at each other and they see, okay, many aliens are there, I'm not the only one. Yes. And you know, they all come together and have nice friendship. That's what is the goal when we have this Vaikuntha kids or teenage class or whatever, you know, whatever we're conducting in ISKCON. But another thing that we all can meditate on is, if possible, you know, if all devotees can come together and stay, you know, in some same apartment or whatever. Now, I don't know. I don't know about this. All of you all, you know, are grihasthas, you know better. So something like that. Just imagine. You know, everyone come together in the evening, morning, you know, kirtan together. And you know, suppose someone is not well, you go and, you know, deliver the prasad from your house, take care of the people very nicely. And all your kids greeting each other as Hare Krishna instead of, hey, hi, yo. Yes. So this is what would happen. So please think about it. I just wanted to put this thought. Now let's read the purport. The defect of the demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time, Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change. And being materially conditioned, they think that Supreme Personality of Godhead is also conditioned. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti Mamudha Manushim Tanumashrita. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. See, this is a very important aspect that we all should understand. You know how we try to understand the pastimes of Krishna? We try to understand the pastime of Krishna by pulling Krishna to our level. So we are conditioned beings and we pull Krishna to our level and then, you know, try to understand the pastimes. So when we pull the Supreme Personality of Godhead to our level and try to understand the pastimes, we will not be able to understand his supremacy. It's almost like we have decided to wear a red glass and look around. Everything that we'll find is red. Similarly, when we want to pull the Supreme Personality down to our level and judge the pastimes or try to analyze the pastimes, the only thing that we would be seeing is, I am conditioned, so he is also conditioned. I take sides of people, so he'll also take sides of people. I am lusty, so he is also lusty, so he does Rasa Leela. I am a thief, so he also steals butter. So that's how the comparison happens. So if we really want to understand the pastimes of Krishna, so what has to be done? The person or the Supreme Personality of God should be kept on his level. And we should understand him with respect to his level and not pull him down to our level. And that's what Bhagavatam talks about. So we see again and again, the supremacy of the Supreme Person of the Godhead is proved again and again and again. Now you'll see now, you know, when Prahlad Maharaj is glorifying, or if Kunti Maharani is glorifying, or Dhruva Maharaj is glorifying, everyone is glorifying and again re-emphasizing the point, reinforcing the point of supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the reason Krishna also very clearly, you know, is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasva Prabhu, I am that Supreme from whom everything comes. Matta Sarva Pravartate, there is no one above me. That is the reason again and again Lord is also proving this. And he's speaking himself so that no fools of this world can understand that Lord is supreme. He cannot be pulled down to our level. And no, Krishna says, Avajananti Mamudha Manushim Tanumashrita. Even after I speak so much in Bhagavad Gita, even after so many pastimes I did, which are documented in Srimad Bhagavatam, still there will be some people who will consider me as ordinary human being. And who are they? They are Avajananti Ma Mudha. They are Mudha. They are fools. They are donkeys. And that's what Krishna says in 9th chapter, 11th verse. So this is the point. Whenever we see people blaspheming Krishna, we should understand they have pulled Krishna down to their level and they're trying to understand the pastime. But when it comes to devotees, they understand the tattva of Krishna. If you remember, we have discussed a lot of tattva in this last chapter. When we understand the tattva of Krishna and then try to hear the pastimes of Krishna, then Krishna is there on his level. We are there at our level. Vibhu, Anu, now Anu can understand the pastime of Vibhu. Yes, the ocean, the oceanic pastimes can be understood by the drop of that ocean. That's what is the point. But demons will never do that. Demons will always pull the Lord down to their level and try to analyze the qualities of the Lord. Demons always think that Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective, and thus they generally attain Sahajya Mukti. Because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being, they think that they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed herein is that demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat eaters and blood suckers. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. This is what I was talking about. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in Bhagavad Gita. So, both good and bad thing is spoken here. So, when Hiranyakashipu is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, since he was given some laddus by the demigods, he has taken the side of the demigods. But Krishna also says the same thing. You offer me this and I'll be on your side. What he says? Please repeat the shloka. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tadham bhaktya uparitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I'll accept it. Lord accepts the offerings of the devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. See, this point is very nice. Lord has enough to eat. It's not that only if we offer a leaf, a fruit, you know, he'll get to eat something. Only if you offer some laddu, he'll get to eat something. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeding all living entities. There's one shloka which comes in, I think, one of the Vedas, which says, Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. So, one personality is actually feeding all the living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very much merciful and he is bhaktavatsala, very favorable to the devotees, he certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is bhaktavatsala. In other words, he is always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word maya, when used in reference to the dealings of Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. See, this is the natural reciprocation that Lord is actually doing to his devotees. You see, this past time, Duryodhana, he invited Krishna. And when Duryodhana invited Krishna, he had arranged a very huge feast, more than our Swadutsav feast. You know, that was huge. And Krishna came there and Krishna didn't take even a small grain of what was there on the dining table. He didn't take. And then after that, he went to Vidura's house. And Vidura is a maid servant's son. And Vidura was not there at home. Vidurani was there. His wife was there. And Vidurani was very, very much astonished to see Krishna. She was so happy to see the worshipable Lord of their life coming inside their house. And Krishna said, I'm hungry. And Vidurani, she started feeding bananas to Krishna. And this feeding of banana was very special. Vidurani was looking at the beautiful face of Krishna. She was peeling the banana, throwing the banana and feeding the peel. And what Krishna was doing, he was eating the peel of the banana. Look at this. This is called as Bhavagrahi Janardhana. So Krishna is Bhavagrahi. He takes not the offering, you know, that we are giving. He might take the offering also, but more importantly, he takes the bhava behind the offering. So when a devotee is offering with love, you know, to the Lord, automatically The Lord accepts that offering because it is offered with love. There was one question that was posted to me once. I was giving the session in Goa. So one person was attending that session. He asked me this question. Very nice question it was. He said, Prabhuji, I'll give you a case study. I was like, Are Bapa, I give case study in my classes. This person is giving me case study. I said, okay, give. Then he told me, a devotee has made a nice preparation and he's running towards the Lord, not to the temple. And in between, he meets with an accident, he dies. So did the Lord accept the offering or not? The time when the devotee started from the house with a mood that I'll be offering this to the Lord, or even before that, in the kitchen, you know, when that particular thing was cooked with the mood that I'll be feeding this to Krishna, at that time itself, Lord accepts the offering. That time itself, the Lord accepts the offering. Okay, that doesn't mean that, you know, you cook and you think it's offered and you eat. No, we have a procedure. But I'm talking about the mood of Krishna. And, you know, so even if the person dies, surely he'll get the credit of offering that particular foodstuffs to Krishna even when he has not reached the temple. This is called as the love of Krishna towards his devotee. Bhavagrahi Janardana. So his name is Bhavagrahi. So when we're offering any foodstuffs to the Lord or anything that we're offering, the offering has to be from the heart. Oh Lord, I cannot offer you anything. You're Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a small thing that I'm offering it to you. You know, the small offering from my side, please accept. Yes, and that's how we offer the bhoga, or that's how we offer the tulasi leaves, or that's how we offer the flowers. We take the position of a beggar and we tell the Lord, I cannot offer you anything, O Lord. Please accept. And you know, when this mood is there, when we're offering with love and affection, you know, they will accept. The Lord will accept for sure. And if Lord accepts our offering, what else we want in life? What else we want as devotees? Devotees' only goal is somehow or the other we want to please Krishna. That's what, you know, they look forward for. Right? That's what Prabhupada is saying. As for Rudira, or the blood of Lord Vishnu, since there is no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there is no question of blood. But the garland that decorates Vishnu's body is as red as blood. When the demons achieve Sayujya Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. After attaining Sayujya Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to the Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of Lord's garland prasada. See, this is the mercy of the Lord. You desire red blood, you know, he's ready to offer something red. And also another thing that we have to understand is, this is Hiranyakashipu's partial knowledge, that he feels that a person who is Sachidananda Vigraha, who is completely spiritual, also has blood like his own body. Hiranyakashipu has blood in his body. So he's thinking that even Vishnu will be having blood in his body. This is what I was talking about. Pulling the Lord to our level and trying to analyze. Okay, it's already 8. We'll take one more shloka and we'll stop for the day. Text 9. When the root of a tree. Now, this is very nice verse. Now, where Hiranyakashipu is giving the right philosophy. He says, when the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods from whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul will lose the source of their life and wither away. So the positive verse is there in Bhagavatam itself. It says, Taror eva moola nisechanena tripyanti skand tat bhujopa shakaha. So just by watering the root, the entire tree flourishes. Similarly, when we worship Krishna, all the Devi Devtas will accept the offering, or they will be satisfied. And the same verse he is saying in a negative way. If we cut the root, the tree will fall down and all the twigs and leaves will wither away. So if I kill Vishnu, who is the root of all the Devi Devtas, all the Devi Devtas will wither away. So here indirectly, Hiranyakashipu is telling all of us that worship Krishna. He is the root. He is the root, and everyone else is like the tree. Everyone else is like the leaves and twigs and flowers. The difference between demigods and the demons is explained here. The demigods always follow the instructions of Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is indirect glorification of demigods by the demons. So here, Hiranyakashipu is just glorifying the demigods. He's saying that, you know, demigods are so dependent on Supreme Personality of Godhead. How great they are. If I kill Vishnu, they will also be killed. That's how dependent they are. So he's indirectly glorifying. In the future verses, we're going to see Now, more glorification of Vishnu and the demigods and Prahlad Maharaj, you know, through the mouth of Hiranyakashipu, he will be indirectly glorifying, you know, trying to blaspheme. And in this particular chapter, you know, we are going to learn lots and lots of aspects. And we'll see that there'll be so many philosophical points, you know, that we'll learn from this chapter, by which, you know, we'll be able to lead our life, you know, very, very nicely. Because this particular chapter is almost like Bhagavad Gita. You'll see, you know, various Bhagavad Gita aspects coming now. And who will be speaking this Bhagavad Gita? Hiranyakashipu. We'll see those verses. Now, let me take some questions. It's a great idea for colony. Yes, yes. Let's please plan something. If a devotee pleased Krishna and Krishna asked devotee for a boon, as I am very happy with your devotion, devotee told Krishna, if you are really pleased, then give spiritual world or get delivered to all material living Jivatma. What Krishna will do now? I couldn't get your question. If suppose, okay, let me rephrase. Let me tell if this is the question. If the devotee asks Krishna that if you're really pleased with me, then give me the destination as spiritual world or give deliverance to all the Jivatmas of this material world. Suppose this is asked by the devotee to the Lord. Lord will deliver that person, take him to spiritual world and also will deliver all the living entities. This is what he did for Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj asked this benediction, that please deliver everyone. And Lord said, okay, no problem. One universe getting delivered back home, no problem. There are many, many other universes which are like mustard seeds in the sack of mustard. Sack of mustard seeds. So one mustard seed coming out from the sack of mustard seed, it hardly matters. That's what the Lord says in that particular context. So Lord will fulfill both the desires. Since a devotee who has pleased the Supreme Lord is asking a benediction on behalf of all others, they all will be delivered. If you see why ISKCON is progressing or why ISKCON is flourishing, why we have become devotees, is because Prabhupada has prayed for all of us. So Prabhupada had prayed this, that anyone who comes to ISKCON, you know, let that person become a pure devotee and go back home. That is the reason we are all aspiring to become pure devotees. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. So Lord fulfills. Lord can never deny a request by a pure devotee. Never. So when Prabhupada says that chant for 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles, you'll surely go back, come back to God. It will be possible because Prabhupada said. Krishna would be thinking, Arey Bapre, what did you say? Many, many people now in ISKCON will be doing this. Now I have to deliver everyone. And Prabhupada saw, yes. Now maybe some discussion might be happening. Second question, demonic powers were only available or given in a certain yuga. Some of them got the powers from God themselves. And we can't expect that in this yuga. You said the demonic activities or being atheist at a high level will only get Krishna's attention. What about devotion? Should it also be at an extreme level to attain Krishna? Yes. Our devotion should also be at that level. Now, when it comes to the demigod, the demonic activities, are the demons getting benediction from the demigods? Yes, they did a lot of tapasya and they got the benediction. Now, I don't think there is any atheist who can do tapasya like Hiranyakashipu. We'll see the tapasya, what he did. In third chapter, fourth chapter, we'll see the tapasya. So, no one is on that platform, not to get those benedictions from demigods. And yes, in this age, if we really want, or in any age for that matter, if we really want to attain Krishna through enmity, then that enmity has to be intense. Why intense? Because by remembering Krishna intensely, a person will get purified. Similarly with devotion, when a person remembers Krishna intensely, by practicing intense devotional service, then the person gets purified and he will be delivered. He'll be delivered from the cycle of birth and death. He'll reach Krishna. He'll attain Krishna. You also mentioned you don't intend to read Mahabharata. Why is it that? So, you know, Bhagavatam is more nourishing and Bhagavatam has got a lot of, lot of rasa. When it comes to Mahabharata, it's more of politics and diplomacy and etc. etc. There is a high chance that a person reading Mahabharata, you know, with the improper consciousness, you know, will get into a different zone altogether. And that's what we see in this world now. Many, many people, they're taking side of Karna. They become fans of Karna. Some people are fans of Duryodhan and they're undermining the quality of Krishna. And whatever devotional aspect is there in Mahabharata, that is already put in Bhagavatam. So already is there. You know, Mahabharata, with the devotional aspects of Mahabharata is already put here. Like Bhishma Dev, you know, leaving his body. You know, that aspect is given in Bhagavatam. Kunti Maharani is praising Krishna. Ashwatthama releasing his six Brahmastras. All that thing is there. And the supremacy of Supreme Lord is proved there. Right? Yes, Mahabharata, no doubt, you know, no problem reading it. Yes. But if there is a chance, there is an option given, Bhagavatam or Mahabharata, we choose Bhagavatam. That's what is the point that I made. Few of my friends questioning me that why offer all items, whatever we cook, to Lord Krishna. As per Bhagavad Gita, only Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. How can I understand all this? No, it's very clear. Now, suppose a person comes to your house and then the person says that I'm not very hungry. Give me few grains of whatever you've prepared. So would you count 2-3 grains and put it on the plate and give it to him? When Lord is saying Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam, he's telling the rock bottom thing that a person can do. Rock bottom thing. Even this, a poorest of the poor person can offer. So Krishna is giving the rock bottom thing that everyone can do. But that doesn't mean a person who is millionaire or a person who is well-to-do is still offering these things only. So Krishna gives the rock bottom thing and a devotee is very intelligent. He goes to the next level. He says, Krishna, I have told this. I'm going to offer you this. So they do the different level of offering. And also when it comes to the offerings that we do, the bhoga that we offer. So our mood is that I don't want to take anything which is not offered to Krishna. Let each and every grain that is put inside the mouth be prasad. Let it be prasad. So that's what is the mood, you know, when it comes to us as devotees. And we don't want to accept anything that Krishna has not accepted. If Krishna rejects something, we'll not accept. Now suppose Krishna would have given the point, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. Instead of that, if you'd have said Andam Matanam Chikanam, whatever. Yes, maybe we would have accepted that, you know, instead of Patram Pushpam Palam. Whatever Krishna says, we are ready to do. That's what is the mood of a devotee. So a devotee, you know, even whatever he puts inside the mouth, he wants that to be prasad. And why, you know, prasad? Because he understands that by accepting prasad, you know, he's getting more closer to Krishna. He's getting more purified. He'll be able to attain Krishna, right, in this very lifetime. So that is the reason. Can you explain what happened to Dantavakra? Yes, I would like to explain. But now let's do it on Tuesday. Remind me this question. We'll do that. One realization is that comparing Krishna's tattva with ours is the vital error in this world. We as devotees, we should understand Krishna in this in his cause reason. That is only by devotional service and destroy the anarthas in our heart. Yes. True. Only when we understand Krishna in Tattva, we'll be able to get closer to Krishna. Since you mentioned that we will listen Bhagavad Gita type questions from Hiranyakashipu, it reminded me of a question. Prabhupada mentioned in one of his lectures that we should never hear from a non-devotee. Then how do we aspire for a society with education system with Bhagavad Gita part of curriculum? Everyone will need to become devotee. Yes, that's true. And when it comes to Hiranyakashipu speaking Bhagavad Gita, he's Jai Vijay, right? One of them. So they can speak Bhagavad Gita. And when it comes to your comment, it's very nice. Yes. Now, when it comes to including Bhagavad Gita in the curriculum, so all of us, you know, who are practicing devotees, we all should get into that education system and teach Bhagavad Gita. If not in the curriculum, at least outside, you know, when we are there, we can do that particular thing. Because as you rightly said, maybe now when it comes to the education system, not everyone can become devotees. But at least now when we have become devotees, we can spread this message of Gita all around to all the favorable people. Because we have many demons already. They might not accept Bhagavad Gita. But there are many favorable people whom we can save. That is what is our goal. Let's save those favorable people. A nice, nice point. How would you describe an intense devotee? What are the key differences between an ordinary devotee and an intense devotee, what should the ordinary devotee do to become an intense devotee? Oh, that's an intense question. Okay. So when it comes to a devotee practicing bhakti intensely, so in his life, you know, everything is prioritized with respect to Krishna. Before doing any activity, the first question that would be asked by the devotee is, by doing this activity, will I get closer to Krishna or not? Be it even putting anything inside the mouth, is it offered to Krishna? Then only I'll take. And then the devotee would not waste a single moment. One quality of an intense devotee is avyartha kalatvam. Avyartha kalatvam means not wasting a single moment. So a devotee is very, very cautious about time, because he understands. You look at the time, you know, Sunday, I'm really worried about, you know, when it comes to time. You see, it's already Sunday. Today is Sunday. Yes, and this, how the week is going, how the days are flying, you know, we are not understanding. It's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. At night, every day, you know, when I write my diary, you know, I go crazy. Oh, today's day is over. Today's day is over. Yes. And every day I'm seeing, when I'm writing my diary, I'm seeing that, okay, I'm just able to do these many points. No, and more activities, how to do more activities, because time is less. So when it comes to you know, intense devotees, you know, like Prabhupada and all the others, you know, who are there, all our superiors, they have this mood that not even a single moment they want to waste. Even if they get 1 minute, they would chant, or even if they get few seconds, they would chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes. And they get any chance to preach, they'll speak about Krishna. And the intense devotees don't want to hear anything, no, which is not Krishna conscious. They just close their ears. Vishnu, 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 I want to hear this. Yes. So intense devotees are the ones who engage their entire body in service of the Lord. Entire body. Every single atom of the body is engaged in service of the Lord. No, that's what is called as intensity. For us, now to become intense, so currently, now we all, like that video which was posted in the group. So currently we might be there in the first standard. And we have to reach maybe, you know, some professional course like engineering or something. So now, being a first standard student, we have to do what is prescribed for us. So chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles. So by doing that every single day and reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and associating with devotees, automatically, now we'll come to that level. Why are we not able to become intense? Because we don't have taste in bhakti. That is the reason. It's not about time. It's not about time. It's about taste. Since we don't have taste, it becomes difficult to become intense in devotional service. But, and also, why don't we have taste? Because our heart is covered with anarthas. So with time, what will happen is, slowly and steadily, the anarthas will be removed just by doing these activities. Stopping the sinful activities by following 4 regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication. And chanting 16 rounds every single day. So negativity is reduced and positivity is increased in our life. And by this, slowly the anarthas will be removed. And then when we read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, automatically the eyes go wide open. Are bapre, where am I? I'm a demon. Now I have to become a devotee. At least that realization comes. And the person starts aspiring. What happens now is, when we start reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, when we hear Prabhupada lectures, we get a desire to become a devotee. We get a desire to become intense devotee. How did you get this question of becoming intense devotee? Because we spoke about this from Bhagavatam. Right, then at least we get a question how to become intense. Then after going through Bhagavatam, after getting the answer, then we realize, okay, this is how intense devotees are. I also want to become intense. At least the desire comes in the heart, and rest Krishna will do. Once we get the intense desire in the heart to become intense devotee, Krishna would manifest the other things in our life. Krishna would send the right person in our life, right guidance will be given, and all the other things will fall in place. If you just have that desire, intense desire. So hope this answers your question. Let me know if you want something more. How did Vibhishan become devotee of Lord Ram? Okay, it's a long story. No, so Vibhishan was begot by so-and-so mother. Now, by a very nice person who was like a demigod. So Vibhishan was like that right from the childhood. Right from the childhood. So also the time in which the parents united, that time was very proper. Very proper. But when it's to Ramana, when it comes to Ravana, Kumbhakarna and others, you know, they were not begotten at the right time. So that is the reason. So this is what you know, we see. It's available in some of the universities. It's available even in BITS now as elective. Yeah. No, I'm from BITS Pilani. I can tell you how Bhagavad Gita is taken as an elective there. So students take Bhagavad Gita as elective because you can easily score marks. Questions are easy, straightforward. So they take Bhagavad Gita. So they are not very serious. No, engineering students, when they opt for Bhagavad Gita as elective, they just opt it for time pass. So I saw that when I was studying in BITS Pilani. The serious Gita course like we are doing, it's very difficult to have it in a educational system as of now. Maybe with time, when more and more people become devotees, it will be possible. Yes. What to do with mosquitoes and house flies and small roaches in home? Can we hit them? What should be our mode of behavior while cleaning home? It's a household question. So once what happened is, Prabhupada was there in Mayapur. And if I'm not wrong, it was Bhakti Charu Maharaj, one of the Prabhupada disciples, was serving him. So they were putting mosquito net, and there were a lot of mosquitoes at that time in Mayapur because it was just a field. Now it's a huge city, but it was just a field at that time. So mosquito net was put, and then there was one mosquito which came inside the mosquito net. And the disciple who was there, was trying to hit that mosquito. And Prabhupada said, "Don't hit, it's not doing anything to us." And then mosquito came and sat on the body of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "Now hit him." Yes, so Prabhupada said that. But the question that you have asked, so Prabhupada says to this in one of the places, that we have to keep our house clean, not allowing these things to come. So using mosquito repellents and having a mosquito net and other things are recommended. And in the extreme case, yes. In the extreme case, like Prabhupada said, kill. That's what we have to do. But if we keep the house clean and the surrounding clean, that's what is the proper mode. Then to take a racket, the electric racket, and go around playing badminton with the mosquitoes. The mode of chanting is to hear attentively the holy name. Is hearing the Hare Krishna mantra have the same benefit as chanting by our own? Anyway, we are hearing attentively. Okay. See, let's understand what is mantra meditation. Mantra meditation is very, very scientific. Okay. So mantra meditation means chanting and hearing the mantra. So by this, what happens is scientifically also very much recommended. So when we engage our multiple senses in one activity, what happens is we become focused. So now just by hearing, we cannot be attentive. Now when we are chanting, we are hearing and we are also counting on the beats. So what happens? The sense of speech, the sense of hearing and the sense of touch is engaged. And then we become attentive. That is the reason it is said we have to chant and we have to hear. Chant and hear. Yes, if the person is on the deathbed, then we cannot do anything. We just put that audio box and person can hear. But since we are there on our sleeping bed, we are still healthy. So, we have to chant. We have to chant. When we are very, very sick, having a lot of fever or whatever, and not able to speak anything, at that time, yes, we can maybe hear the Maha Mantra. But when we are healthy, it is recommended that we chant and we hear. We chant and hear. Your point reminds me where he mentioned, of a realization given by senior devotee, where he mentioned that Krishna says, "I am time" in Bhagavad Gita. Yes, he says, "Aham Kalosmi," 11th chapter. And we say, "I don't have time for devotion." Which clearly states we don't have Krishna in our life. Oh, very true. That's a very nice point.